It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Sandy Rios with you. It's Christmas. This is the Rios Family Special. Let's listen.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and heaven and nature sing.
He's casting crowns with joy to the world. Let's listen to the rest of it.
Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains. Repeat the sounding
repeat
joy.
The sounding
repeat
joy.
The sounding
repeat
joy.
The sounding joy.
Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love.
Christmas, what a great celebration. Joy to the world, and it is joy to the world, a world that needs a Savior so desperately. Some of you in your personal lives, because of heartache, loss, maybe you've had a diagnosis, maybe you've got a child who's breaking your heart. I don't think many of us don't understand that we need a Savior. All you have to do is watch the news and watch the international news, and you understand that the world needs a Savior, and the good news is we have one, that God became man, made himself of no reputation, became a man in order to save us. Well, this is a very special time for me because this week in the studio, I have my whole family. My whole family. And in fact, I want to say, you want to say hello, Merry Christmas? Hello.
Merry Christmas.
All right. All right. So I have in the studio my husband, Bruce. Bruce, come here. You want to say Merry Christmas to the audience?
Merry Christmas to everybody. Thanks for a wonderful year. Wishing you a great 2017.
Thank you, honey. All right. And so my son, Jeremy, has joined us this morning with his family. So, Jeremy, a quick hello from you, then I'm talking to the rest of them.
Hello and good morning.
So, Jeremy, those folk that listen on a regular basis know about you, and they know that you have been a pastor of a Chinese church, English-speaking pastor in Vancouver, British Columbia. For how long have you been up there?
We were in Vancouver for 11 years, 5 years with a Vietnamese church, and then 3.5 years with a Chinese church.
So do you speak Vietnamese or Chinese yet?
I can order a few things off the menu.
Well, that's more than most people could do. So, Jeremy, you're getting ready to embark on a really exciting adventure. So let's do the short form. And then we'll talk to the rest of the family for a second. What are you doing?
In just a few weeks, my family and I are moving to Scotland to where I can start my PhD at the University of St. Andrews.
In what?
Theology.
All right, so what do you want to do when you grow up? Your mom wants to know.
I don't know yet.
I have to tell people, when you were a kid, you did a lot of things well. You had a lot of gifts. You loved English. You loved to read. Absolutely loved to read. You loved math, and you scored well in math and engineering, and I thought we were going to send you to the like one of the academies, and I talked to Congressman Henry Hyde, and we were working on that. Then you got into high school, and you discovered speech and drama, and I saw you play, you know, Fagin in, what was the name of that? Oliver. And you were really, really a gifted actor, and I thought, oh, my gosh, I've never seen this part of him. And then you go to Wheaton College, and I come over, and we have a lunch outside at a picnic table, and you tell me you're going to major in ancient languages. You confused me very much, and you still don't know what you're going to do. But, yeah, son, I'm proud of you. You've had you've got a wonderful wife that you met at Wheaton, and she's right here with us. In fact, Liesl, let's do a switch here. Liesl Cates Auerbach-Rios, welcome to the studio.
Hi, good morning.
Okay, so this is a big change for you. By the way, Liesl, since the time they went to Vancouver, has given birth to three little ones, and we're going to talk to them in a second. But Liesl, how do you feel about going to Scotland for 3 years? That's a pretty big move.
It is a big move, but we're really excited. It'll be a good change for our family, and we homeschool, and so moving mid-year isn't a big deal. That was kind of one of the things we were thinking about when we started that. We thought, well, we want flexibility, and that offers that, so we can say yes to big opportunities like this.
You know, one of the things that you have experienced in Canada, and you've woven me into that experience, is you've given birth to all three kids through what's called, was it the doula system? Is that what they call it? Yeah, explain that.
I had a midwife for all of my deliveries. Actually, it was part of a birthing program, where it combined doctors and midwives, and you got someone called a doula to help you along with your birth. And that really takes the pressure off of your husband to know what to do while you're giving birth. So
you got really close to you. And you shared a doula with that singer, Michael Bublé, right?
Yes. Yes, we did. So our doula is named Blanca, and we love her dearly. I want to take her to Scotland with me.
Oh, is that means? Okay. Well, all right. Well, we won't go there. But that's interesting. So you homeschool. And the method of delivery in Scotland is the same. You know, the reason I know more about it is because of that Netflix special, Call the Midwife.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, I got hooked on that.
It's a great show.
And it talks about what midwives actually do. If anybody hasn't seen that, you love it too, right?
I do. I love that show when I get a chance to watch. I do love it.
Yeah, you don't have time. You don't watch a lot of TV, Liesl?
I don't have much time to watch TV.
You know, the other thing about Liesl... that I want you to, maybe I'll put her on the spot. She has the most beautiful voice. Yes, you do. And you've actually gotten involved in the Chinese English speaking church, mm-hmm. haven't you? Led worship?
I have. It's been a new experience. I've always sung, but I've never gotten a chance to lead worship. So it was great to put that together.
All right, you actually auditioned and were accepted into a traveling group. I think, as I remember, your mother, who is no longer with us, your sweet mom, I remember her telling me she didn't know that you applied for this and then announced to your parents that you were going to go. What was the name of the group?
The group was the Continental Singers, and the subgroup was the Young Continentals. So I was 15, yeah. And I got a chance to go see the world. It was great.
Where did you go?
I went to New York, started in California. We went to London and about 12 hours in Amsterdam.
that's long enough to see
story.
Amsterdam, actually. It, but you didn't go to Scotland.
No.
So that's coming up. Okay. Mm-hmm. Liesl, we'll be back to you. I promise. But we have some people to introduce here. Let's start with this one because he's the smallest. Hey, what is your name, sir?
Asa.
Your name is Asa. Asa, what did you have for breakfast? You got to tell him.
Chicken.
Chicken? Asa, you and I have something in common. Do you want to tell them what we have in common? What are you missing there? What's gone? What's missing in there? Oh, they can't hear you. What is it?
Teeth.
Your teeth. You are missing your teeth, and so is Grandma. Grandma had a biking accident, and I'm missing my teeth. So my grandson, Asa, who's 3, and I have the same thing in common. We're missing our two front teeth. But we don't let that stop us from eating chicken for breakfast, right? Asa, what do you want for Christmas?
a Christmas tree.
You want a Christmas tree for Christmas? Mm-hmm. I think Grandma can provide that. I don't know about Santa Claus, but Grandma and Grandpa can provide that. We are glad to have you at our house. Can you say Merry Christmas to everybody?
Merry Christmas.
Okay, yay, Isa. King Isa. All right, let's go to the middle one. And let's see. She's dressed in a Hello Kitty. And she's got long, beautiful hair, which I washed last night. And her name, what's your name? Tell them what your name is.
Cates.
Hey, Cates. Cates, how old are you, Cates?
Five.
Five. How did you get to be five? I'm not ready for that. You're supposed to be a baby still. That's not fun for you to be five. Can you stop growing?
I think not.
Hey, Katesy, what would you like for Christmas?
What I wanted for Christmas was something sparkly.
Something sparkly? You know, Kates, I remember the first Christmas we spent in Vancouver with you, and Grandpa and Grandma got you some shiny jeans. And you went crazy for your shiny jeans. You are my sparkly queen. You do like sparkly like Grandma, right? Yeah, we both like sparkly. Katesy, what are you going to miss the most about Canada?
My house.
Your house. You like that, don't you? You had a really beautiful home, didn't you? And lots of toys. You had to get rid of a lot of your toys to be able to move to Scotland. What did you have to give away that was the hardest?
I don't know. I think it was my bed.
Your bed? It was hard to give away your bed. That's a big deal. Hey, Kate, so this year, I remember that you called me one day because you wanted to tell me that you had made a big decision. And you said, Grandma, I've decided to follow Jesus. Do you remember that?
No.
You don't remember that? You don't remember calling Grandma, or you don't remember deciding to follow Jesus?
I remember deciding to follow Jesus, just not calling.
Okay, that's what I thought. Miss Literal. All right, so did you pray with Mommy? Were you at home?
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. Did you have a friend who made that decision? Did you hear something at church? Why did you make that decision, Kate?
Because Mom said if I wanted to.
And you said you wanted to.
Right.
Yeah, well, Grandma did that too when I was about 9 years old. Your daddy, your mommy, we've all made that decision to follow Jesus. So that's very cool, honey. All right, thank you for joining me. Okay, so what's your name?
Moses.
You know, I knew that.
Very funny.
Moses, I know you already got something for Christmas. You want to tell them what you just got?
I got Darth Vader slippers.
Is that what you expected?
No.
What did you expect? What do you expect to get for Christmas?
I expect to have a good Christmas. That's what I expect.
That's really what you want, is a good Christmas?
What
would be a good Christmas to you?
Everybody having a good time.
Oh, that's a good thing. And Moses, it was this year too. Let's talk seriously for a second, because this is the year that you prayed to receive Jesus, right?
Right.
Yeah, so what were you with Mommy? What happened? Did you decide at church or did you decide at home?
Home.
At home? Yeah. So you prayed with Mommy?
Yes.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah. What have you learned in the Chinese church, you think, with your daddy preaching?
I really don't know. I learned that friends can sometimes be fun.
Friends can sometimes be fun?
And friends can sometimes be not fun.
Uh-oh.
At the same time.
Well, that's true, isn't it? Sometimes people can hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How old are you?
7 years old.
Okay. And when you think about Scotland, have you been studying about it so that you, know what to expect?
Sort of.
Yeah? Well, what have you learned so far?
I've learned that I really like the annual fire festival.
They have a fire festival?
Yes.
Oh.
They do.
What are you going to do about this little brother of yours?
I'm going to treat him with berries.
You're going to treat him with berries? Rather than chicken? He said he had chicken for breakfast, but I don't think so.
You're welcome.
Moses, you want everybody to have a good time for Christmas, so that's your Christmas wish, huh?
Yes.
I like that. Let's see. What else do you want for Christmas? Anything?
I really don't know.
Well, you know what? I kind of like that. I kind of like that that's not what's on your mind. Because, you know, thank goodness, because Grandpa and I didn't get you anything. So, relief, right, Grandpa? Thank goodness. There's nothing to worry about. We didn't get you anything. You didn't expect anything. It's all cool. All right, that's Moses and Kate and Asa and Liesl and Jeremy and my husband Bruce. And we're going to be back in just a second with some more fun. Don't go away. Sandy Rios says it's the Rios Christmas special on AFR Talk.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know?
Sandy Rios, and that's Mark Lowry singing one of my favorite Christmas songs. Let's just listen and enjoy for a second.
Will give sight to a blind man. Mary, did you know your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, dead will live again, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great
with you on Sandy Rios in the morning. And of course that's Mark Lowry. He's the one that wrote that song, even though there's been a many renditions. Did you know that the sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am? Those of us that have been mothers understand really the mystery of birth, I'm sure more than the guys do. They understand it, but not like we do. And we understand when it said that Mary, it was like she, with wonder, she pondered these things in her heart, things that you can't even find words for. I think that most expectant mothers have that experience, but of course with Mary, it was much greater. She had seen this vision of an angel telling her she was going to have this baby in a miraculous way, and she pondered all these things in her heart. It's a beautiful story. Well, of course, my children are with me today, and it makes me think of them when I tell a story like that. My son Jeremy, his wife Liesl, Asa, Kates, and Moses, all of them, and my husband Bruce, all of us in the studio today celebrating Christmas. Jeremy, what is the thing that you're going to miss the most, you think, about being in Vancouver? You've been there 11 years? Yep. What are you going to miss the most?
Well, people the most of all, of course. But after people, food.
Can you expand on that?
Okay. Expand on people? Well, you're a pastor for 8.5 years. You get very close relationships with people. And you'll miss them when they're gone. So you'll miss those. We miss those friendships already. Food. I mean, Vancouver has a high percentage of Chinese immigrants. So there's brilliantly wonderful Chinese food, and more than the normal stuff you get, lots of other stuff. There's also great sushi and great Indian food. It's a lovely place to eat, and so we'll certainly miss those places in particular.
Moses, Mr. Moses, what are you going to miss about Vancouver?
I'm going to miss friends mostly.
Yeah? You think you'll make any friends in Scotland?
I definitely will.
Are you going to put on a, do you know what a kilt is?
No, I do not.
Oh, you don't? You don't? Okay, no. Oh, you don't know this? Okay, on national radio, I'm going to tell you. A kilt is a plaid. You know what plaid looks like? Plaid. Yep. Like that. That yeah. Plaid. Yep. Men in Scotland wear plaid skirts. And they're called kilts. Did you know that?
I think I'm getting back to it now.
And they play bagpipes. Do you know what that is? You've seen those things where, you know, they...
Yes, I have.
They take a steady flow of their own air constantly, and then they push the... It's that, you hear them at funerals in the United States a lot.
Yes.
Oh, their dad has pulled up a picture of a kilt. You see that?
Yes.
Okay, so are you going to wear a kilt?
Yes.
Do you know that when Daddy graduates from St. Andrews, he's going to have to wear a kilt? That'll be part of his... Yes, you do. Listen, I called ahead and told him you had. No, the graduates of St. Andrews wear a kilt. So that'll be funny. You'll see Daddy in a dress.
That will be very funny, even for my own father.
All right, so you going to miss your friends?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Well, all right. Katesy, did you tell... What are you going to miss about Scotland? I mean, about... What are you going to miss about Vancouver?
Of course, you, Grandma.
Oh, you're going to miss Grandma. Well, that's a good answer. Thank you, Casey. That's very sweet. Asa, honey, can you come see Grandma? Asa's our 3-year-old. And we'll just see the toothless wonder here with Grandma, the toothless Grandma. What are you going to miss about Vancouver? What do you think?
Grandma.
Oh. All right, that deserves a kiss. I did not plan these answers. Okay, Grandma's not in Vancouver, but I know you mean when you go to Scotland, Grandma won't be there. I'm going to miss that too. Liesl, what are you going to miss the most about Canada? Because that was a big adjustment when you went up there, but you did adjust. So what are you going to miss?
I'm definitely going to miss the mountains and the water. I love that about Vancouver, so I'm going to miss that for sure.
Well, describe it.
Well, I grew up in Texas. So mountains were just very foreign to me. So moving and seeing mountains outside my kitchen window while I did dishes was a new experience. So I loved that, and I'll miss that. We'll be close to the ocean in St. Andrews, but Vancouver is a unique and beautiful place, so I'll certainly miss that.
Do you remember the time we took the car, Moses and Liesl, and we drove all up? What's the highway? We went all the way to the West Coast.
Oh, I was thinking Sea to Sky, but you're talking about on Vancouver Island. We drove all the way to Port Renfrew across to the very west coast of Vancouver Island. It was beautiful, wasn't it? We went to China Beach, I think.
Yeah, and it was very barren. I was surprised. I mean, it's really a still wilderness, amazingly. Mm-hmm.
Oh, there was great pie, though, at the end, wasn't there?
I forgot about the pie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How can you forget about the pie?
Yeah, you're never in the wilderness if there's pie. But seriously, not many towns, sparsely populated. And we drove all the way to the West Coast. But I think the thing that I noticed in Vancouver is it is ocean. I mean, you've got the tankers that you can see, the beautiful tankers, and you hear the whatever you want to call it in the mornings, and it's just gorgeous.
It is. It's a unique place.
Yeah. Well, Canadian culture, Jeremy, how do you compare Canadian culture to American?
Canadian culture to American. It's hard to say. There are fewer Canadians. They are mostly nice and cheerful, and they get along. They don't. There's a much more laid back, especially West Coast where we were. I mean, we're in a very West Coast is West Coast everywhere you are. It's always kind of laid back and chill. Vancouver is very exercise focused, so a lot of very healthy people there. And that's a very nice, it's a nice byproduct you get to be around all sorts of healthy people all the time. They pride themselves on their multiculturalism. So a sense of shared national identity, being Canadian, is something that people are proud to share with other nationalities. And that's been good.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, I know. I've witnessed firsthand you guys really enjoying the culture. Bruce, my sweet husband, can you come? Just for a second, talk to me. All right, so this is going to change things for us. And let me sit there just for a second. We are, when Jeremy said that he was moving to Scotland, you remember that I was kind of bummed about that. Excited, but 3 years in Scotland. And do you remember what you said to me? You comforted me. I'm going to let you tell him what you said.
Well, I just said that... you know, really traveling from where we live to Vancouver is really not much different than traveling from where we live to Scotland. And let's just, look at it as a positive that we're kind of staying even here and going to experience a whole new place.
Moses, you remember the first Christmas you came to Grandma and Grandpa in D.C.? I remember, come here. You said to me, you said, Grandma, do they have a toy store in Washington, D.C.? Do you remember saying that?
Yes, I do.
Now, do you understand that it is Washington, D.C.?
Yes,
you,
I do.
You lived in B.C.
I know.
And they did have a toy store, didn't they? We found a few.
Yay.
Bruce, I have to say publicly that you are the most generous, loving grandfather, father-in-law to my family, my children, my grandchildren. They love you. You are Grandpa Bruce. What's it like to have them, for a week? They're not listening, and nobody's listening to your answer.
That's wonderful. We've never really gotten to spend an extended time with them, and this is just going to be great because they're in a great place. Because they don't have the pressures of everyday life, which we often experience when we're at their home. And so we know that they're going to a place that we're very glad they're going to and that they're very anticipatory of going. So it just makes for a great Christmas. It's like prayers being answered, especially on their part, the things they've prayed for being answered. It really is like a new beginning, which is what Christmas should feel like. And, of course, having the kids is, that changes the whole atmosphere and makes it so much lighter and brighter. And we're just blessed beyond a description.
Okay, Grandpa Bruce, what do you want for Christmas?
I think we've already gotten it. I think they're here.
Oh, that's a good answer. That's a priceless answer. Okay, thanks, Bruce. Jeremy, come back for just a second. We didn't talk about how this happened. And I do want us to for sure talk about God's blessing in this. Because when you started talking about wanting to go to St. Andrews, you're a man with a family, three children, and being a pastor is not the most lucrative industry. And so What you started praying about this. Tell us about the process and how God answered your prayers.
Well, I've been praying about doing a PhD for years. Actually, before I even went to seminary, this was something that we were praying about. And during the 3 years at school at Regent College in Vancouver, we continued to pray and thought that at the end of those 3 years, we would go right into the PhD program. But the Lord said no. And part of what he said was that we should go on and I should be a pastor. And so it was unexpected that I basically took a summer job as a pastor, expecting to work for just a few months, and ended up working for 5 years at that church and then these 3.5 years at the other.
That was the Vietnamese church.
That's right. And so we continued to pray, but, you know, when you get married and you have kids and you begin to recognize the financial burden of doing a PhD is just not, it's extreme. And especially a theology PhD is just, it's not financially lucrative. It's not like I'm going to get this degree and suddenly I'm going to be making money to repay it. So we knew that if it was going to happen, it was going to require some financial assistance. So we began to pray about that as well, but we're also beginning to think maybe this isn't going to happen. And so just about a year ago now, we were notified of a new program and we're excited to look into it and decided to apply in January because there was some funding available with the program. And then when we finally were notified that we'd been accepted, we weren't funded at all, so we didn't know what was going to happen at all. And we knew that funding was necessary for us to do it at all. And we'd prayed specifically that if the Lord wanted us to go, he would fund it as well. So we were just amazed we prayed, and within a few weeks' time, just huge amounts of gifts had come to us from some friends, and we were awarded a partial scholarship for tuition from the school. And we felt clearly the Lord was saying, yes, this is it. And so we were able to go forward. And so resigned and acted in faith, and the Lord has continued to bless us in the last weeks. We're not fully there yet, but we're not worried at all about how we're going to provide for the rest.
All right, so you had to pack up. You were American citizens living in Canada. So you had to pack up your, oh gosh, the visa situation alone to get a visa through into Scotland. The European Union was, you had what, 95-page document you had to read in order to get that, and you just got them. So it's been a real adventure, and it's going to be a real adventure. Well, when we come back, Jeremy and I are going to talk more about the things of the Lord and of this Christmas season and what it really means. We've been talking about our personal stuff. You guys want to say Merry Christmas to everybody? Merry Christmas! And thank you all for joining me. All right, don't go away. Jeremy and I will be back in just a second. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk. Sandy Rios with you, a little drummer boy, fun song, and of course, that's one of my favorite Christmas songs too. I have a lot. Actually, someone asked me, I was doing an interview on a radio station in San Diego, and the first thing up, the engineer asked me when I was getting ready to go on what my favorite Christmas song was. It's very hard when you put somebody on the spot like that, and I could not think. I ended up choosing Mary, Did You Know by Michael English, and he pulled it up. Jeremy, my son Jeremy's with me. What's your favorite Christmas song?
My favorite Christmas song would be Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Because?
I just love the words.
I do too. What are they? Do you know those? Do you know the words?
No.
You sound like Moses. Kate's, I can't remember. It's Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King, Peace on Earth and Mercy Mild, God and Sinner Reconciled. Well, that's the good news, God and Sinner Reconciled. You know, you have, my son Jeremy is with me if you just tuned in. He and his family are getting ready to leave for Scotland where he's going to get his PhD at St. Andrews. And they have been through a lot of changes because moving from Vancouver, British Columbia, they're American citizens having to come back into the States to deal with all of their, if you've ever been in Canada, it's complicated. Your possessions, your cars, all of that. It's not so easy to do things across the border in the United States. And so they've had to get rid of all of their things, their cars, everything. They have 9 suitcases. That's just about it. And they're moving to Scotland, and they've been to, how many cities have you been to before you got here?
Let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 cities before we arrived.
Yeah. How many different beds, you think? Seriously.
About that many beds.
Yeah. Okay, so, Jeremy, in the midst that you're a pastor, and I know because I've watched you, been in your home a lot, you spend time in the Word every day. You're real serious about your commitment to the Lord. But it's hard when you're on the move like this. And I have to just say up front, I confess right now to you and to my audience, I've been so busy myself lately that I have really neglected my time with the Lord. Has it been hard for you in this transition to just spend time with the Lord?
Yeah, it's always a challenge, especially when you're packing your home and moving. You lose a lot of that time. I have my normal, typical devotions. I would read I'd read a portion of the Psalms, and a portion of the Old Testament and a portion of the New Testament every day, plus some other devotional reading. So usually 30 minutes to an hour daily. And that has to be reduced for a transitional time like this. And I find that I have a kind of travel regimen where I'll read a chapter in the morning and a chapter in the evening. So right before I go to bed and right when I wake up, and I'm working my way through the Old Testament right now. I'm in the book of Numbers, which is great for when you're falling asleep sometimes. So I've just been doing my kind of travel devotions for the past month at least right now. And now that I'm kind of landed, I'm looking forward to picking up some of the other pieces.
You know, when I don't spend time with the Lord, I find this is what happens to me. My heart grows cold. And even though I'm reading, I'm still not tender to Him. So it's not that there's any particular sin. It's that you get crusted over. And I always think of that old Negro spiritual. I don't know if you know it. It's called Fix Me. It's, oh, fix me. Oh, fix me, Jesus, fix me. And that's what the lyric is over and over again. It's like there's really nothing in particular, Lord. It's just that I need fixing and I need to be in your presence and tenderized from your Holy Spirit. What are your thoughts about that, Jeremy?
Well, I think that I've taught my people and teach in the past that if you're not in the Word, you can't expect to hear God's voice. You won't know what He sounds like. You don't know what He's saying or what He's doing in the world. And so spending time in the Word is about opening your heart to hear Him speak more and more. And there are seasons where you can have more Word and less Word. I think often young moms, it is extremely hard to carve time between, you know, you sit down and try to read a chapter of the Bible, you're going to fall asleep as a young mom because you're so desperate. And so there are seasons where you have to do less at a time. You maybe just a proverb a day, and you just try to keep that in your heart as you go through. But it's more about our intentionality. It's more about the habit of the Word than it is about the quantity of the Word. I'm a religious professional. I have to spend time, large quantities of time in the Word. Most people are not religious professionals. They're just people of faith, and I usually set about 10 minutes a day. I figure everybody's got 10 minutes a day to spend in the Word. And you commit to it, and you keep it faithfully, and you don't let it go. And you stick to it like you stick to brushing your teeth. If you don't brush your teeth for the day, you feel gross. And if you don't spend your 10 minutes, you should feel a little gross. And then the other thing I say is I try to encourage people to do their 10 best minutes. If you're someone who falls asleep when you hit the pillow, don't use the last 10 minutes of the day. If you're someone who's bright and alert in the morning, use the first 10 minutes. But carve good. If you work out every day, do 10 minutes before your workout. If you eat lunch every day, do 10 minutes before you eat lunch. Choose 10 good minutes and give those to the Lord every day, and then just see what He does through that time.
You know, when it's been probably 12 years ago, After I was president of CWA, I used to read, you know, I used to teach Bible study, and I'll just prep and study and read all kinds of commentaries and cram full of information. And it's for some reason, I just suddenly said, I don't want anything else. I just want God's word. And I started just reading through God's word about 12 years ago. I've been doing it ever since without any kind of, I'm not saying that that's the best way, because I think you do need those supplements to teach the background, to understand the perspective. But I discovered Jeremy just because I wasn't a young mother anymore with people like you pulling at my skirt. And I had time to just really spend with God. It wasn't just reading it. It was really communing with him. And it has remained for the last 12 years something I love. It's not like a duty. It's not, you know, it's something you want to do, and it energizes you for the entire day. So, and I had have you ever had an experience where you just went through like a desert where God did not speak? You were asking him and he just didn't seem there.
Well, of course, I think we all do. And a significant portion of my time in Vancouver felt like that. But there's a lot of, look, obedience is the ordinary food of the Christian life. You do a lot of the stuff, and then you get flashes, you have good moments and bad moments, but you find this baseline of obedience that you stick with. I find that people assume that their emotional life, their spiritual life, and their bodily life are all the same thing. That if I feel right with God, I should feel right physically, emotionally, and spiritually at the same time. But these three things don't often mix. You have times when you feel emotionally really low, and you could be physically sick, but you could be great with the Lord. And you have moments when you are physically great and emotionally great, but you're terrible with the Lord. And so we have to have more self-awareness of what's in our hearts to understand that, you know what, the baseline of my faith is not tied to how I feel on a day-to-day basis. It's not tied to how I feel bodily on a day-to-day basis. And I've had times when I'm desperately sick, but the Lord feels close. And I've had times when I feel close to the Lord, but I feel far from the Lord, but I feel emotionally okay. And so we have to, I think a lot of self-awareness in these specific areas helps people to walk better with the Lord in an ordinary way.
You know, you had a grandmother named Lois, like Timothy. My mother's name was Lois. And mother used to say, Jeremy, when she didn't have any tenderness toward the Lord, she didn't feel anything. She said one thing she would always do is she would notice at those times she wasn't feeling tender toward her husband, and she wasn't feeling necessarily tender toward her children. And for instance, she would say, you know, I love you. I said, yes, mother, I know you love me. But she said, sometimes I don't feel it. You know, I'm busy. I don't feel it. I'm not thinking about it. But that doesn't mean I don't love you. And she said, I finally understood that just because I didn't have strong, overwhelming feelings toward Jesus all the time, it was my emotions. It wasn't the truth of where I stood spiritually. And the other thing, I don't think I've ever told you this, Jeremy, but when I was in California years ago, after Sasha, your oldest sister, was born, and she, as you know, was very ill, constantly ill, seizuring and fevers. In fact, we lost her 6 months after Bruce and I married. And that's part of your life story, too, is us dealing with Sasha's illness. But I went through a period of time, and I mean for months, it might have even been a year, where I could not hear God speak. I felt nothing. It was like an absolute brick wall. It didn't matter what I did, didn't matter what I sang. It didn't matter what I read in scripture. It was like God really just went silent on me. I remember talking, people might know, older listeners might remember Ken Miedema. He was one of my, I loved him as a musician. I remember talking to Ken about this. I said, Ken, I can't hear God. I can't see him. I can't feel him. And I was just desperate for his touch. And I think in retrospect of all these many years looking back on it, Jeremy, I think that God was just removing every single support I had and shaking me up so that I intellectually learned, because I knew I loved him. I knew I had committed my life to him. None of that had changed, but I felt nothing and could hear nothing. And so I just, as you just said, I served him out of obedience and knowledge. I knew I loved him. I knew I'd committed my life to him. And even though I felt nothing and couldn't seem to hear anything back, I was committed. And then, of course, we know the rest of the story. God flooded my life with his spirit and his presence and gave me a powerful well, I'd say a powerful, only other people could say that, a strong, vibrant ministry, that's for sure. Have you ever heard of that happening? And is there a biblical basis for that?
Well, I mean, that kind of stuff happens all the time. I think one of the problems we face is a specifically, we might call a first world problem in the church, which is that we in the West have prioritized, maybe not just the West, in evangelicalism generally, we've prioritized feelings over obedience. The feeling that leads you to walk down the altar, the feeling that helps you to feel, oh, I'm really close to the Lord, the worship service that leaves you feeling with good feelings. And we've under-prioritized obedience. And I think this is actually one of the challenges the church faces today, is to reprioritize obedience and to place feelings in their proper context. Feelings are right, feelings are good, but they serve our obedience. They're not a replacement for it.
You know what's really cool? Christmas is a time when we really do feel. I think that God is, I don't think there's anything wrong with all the tinsel and the trees and all the lights and everything, because it combines our worship of the Lord with beauty, things that we can actually see. Thank God he lets us to love him. He lets us love him with our feelings too at Christmas time, which is such a great gift. Jeremy Rios, thank you for joining me.
My pleasure, Mom. Thanks for having me.
All right. Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. I hope you have a wonderful time with your families. You never know what comes next. So every moment, every day, every hour is precious. Let's thank him for the gift of his son and for the gift of our families this Christmas. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.